Yes, look, I'm a real technophobe as well, and I've been too scared to buy one thus far because I wouldn't be able to work it out how to use it. But yeah, look, it's just incredible, and the pricing is phenomenal. I mean, that's just going to be the ultimate category killer, I think, at
I'm looking for the day when you sort of hop into your phone and travel home
$199.
on an electric phone. It's just getting insane,
It is.
The
It is.
technology
And I often
developments.
say, why can't Australia produce an Apple? You know, we're good at our digging up our minds and stuff, but Apple
Because you
really is
know
the
what?
most
I don't
iconic
think we've ever had
brand.
to. We've never had to, in a sense, because it was the sheep's back, and now we've been living off what's in the
Yeah,
soil.
but we're great. We take up technology so well,
Oh, we
but
love
there isn't
it.
an IT company in the top 100 in Australia. And I sort of look at, you know, the way Steve Jobs does those presentations and just what he's done over the years, and he is the walking epitome of the great American creative dream,
The
that guy.
guru, yeah,
Yeah, he
indeed.
really is. He's like a cult now. He's got a cult following.
Now, talking,
Yes.
who no longer has a cult following is the CEO of Foster's Trevor Hoy, who announced today he was resigning. What's the story behind the story?
Yes, well, I said that he'd been fired and got an angry email from Foster's saying, no, he has resigned. So it's the old thing with CEOs, isn't it?
Were they pushed or did they go?
Yeah, but basically the company has botched its wine strategy. And a bit like John Elliott. I mean, it's the same old story. Back in the days when we were both reporting Business Bev, back in the
Yes,
late
late 80s and
80s,
90s.
early 90s, if Foster's had just said, we do VB, we do it well, we won't do anything else, then, you know, it would have been fantastic for Foster's shareholders. Instead, you had John Elliott trying to Fosterize the world, and you had Ted Kunkel
Bipartisan, yes.
and getting into buying 20% of BHP and make, you know, Elders was an old conglomerate. And beer was just part of its division. Then they said, let's just slim down and become just beer. And they just sort of finally got back on the straight and narrow, paid back a lot of their debt, had their credit rating back. And Ted Kunkel said, the old CEO, probably a bit over a decade ago now, said, oh, we're going to go wine. So they bought Mildura Blast, and they bought a whole bunch of Australian wines. And then I think it was in 2000 when Ted Kunkel said, let's spend $3 billion buying Beringer Blast and become the world's biggest premium wine company. And that was a huge bet. I mean, $3 billion.
And a lot of money, which is obviously what they've realized today, is they paid too much for those
Yeah, they
assets.
Paid too much for that. And then Ted retired after more than 30 years with the company. Trevor Ahoy, the loyal deputy, took over, and he doubled the odds because he bought Southcorp. And that picked up Rosemount and Penfolds, and so then they became the absolute gorilla in Australia, and even more so, the biggest premium wine company in the world. And at one level, you sort of say Australia doesn't produce any well-known branded goods companies. We're not very good on the fast-moving consumer goods things. And good on Foster's for, you know, not just being a globally known brand, Foster's, even though no one drinks Foster's here. Everyone here drinks VB, but
VB.
No one overseas has heard of VB. It's this sort of odd thing about Australian-known brands, the way that Foster's is the name of the company and it's the name of the globally known brand, but no one drinks it here. And they went into wine, and oh, they got slaughtered by a whole range of things, and the board's given Trevor the bullet today. They've taken a write down on the wine of up to $700 million, announced a strategic review, and the share price has, at one stage it was up almost 4% this morning, which is never a good look for a fired CEO or for a voluntarily resigned CEO.
When the market goes whoopee-dee and
well,
goes up.
That's right. The great example of that was John Prescott when he quit BHP in 1998, and the current Foster's chairman, who's done the work today, David Crawford, he was on the BHP board, still is, back in 1998 when they got rid of John Prescott, and the shares went up 8% that day. So that added $2.4 billion to the value of BHP in one day. So it's like John Prescott made $2 million on his shares, but it was all because
not
of
a bad outcome, but tail between his legs. And do you reckon he's going to be the last of the company sort of CEOs that sort of bred right up from the ground up?
Well, again, when we 15, 20 years ago in business journalism, the majority of the top 10 CEOs didn't have a university degree. And I don't know if it was quite a majority, but a large number of them had started out with the company and continued on. Like Brian Quinn at Coles Myer started out sweeping floors in Adelaide in a Coles store. You know, Will Bailey, the ANZ CEO of that day,
Don
started
Argus.
Out as a teller. Don Argus, John Prescott had a long career with BHP. And Trevor Ahoy, 33 years with Foster's, replaced Ted Kunkel, who was another company man. And if you consider the fact that Alan Moss has just retired from Macquarie after close to three decades, David Murray, Commonwealth Bank, was a career banker, and Roger Corbett spent most of his career at Woolworths, we're only really left with Frank O'Halloran at QBE and Wal King at Leighton, who are those career guys who've done 30 years. Although you do have the founder CEOs like the Rupert Murdochs and the Frank Lowys, sure, and Jerry Harveys and these guys.
But they don't fire themselves.
They're not the professional CEOs. So I think this is quite an important day today, that a Melbourne company has moved on a long-serving company employee and CEO.
And are they admitting that the whole strategy has failed, and that, I mean, obviously lots of things has affected the wine market and there was a big glut and stuff, but are they saying that's it? Go back to single focus? Or they still are, I mean, they're keeping their interests.
Well, you don't get too many quotes like this from the chairman of a company. Quote, David Crawford, "The reality is we did not execute the Southcorp integration as well as we expected, and operating conditions are now more challenging. We also must recognise and acknowledge that we paid too much to acquire wine assets." Now, that's after spending $10 billion over a decade, almost $10 billion.
Oh,
it's like,
dear.
Maybe you just should have stuck with VB boys.
Indeed. Well, I think it's all Ian Henderson's fault because he hasn't been drinking enough on the weekends.
No, I'm trying to cut back, Beth.
Are you?
Yeah.
Between your fish oil and your wine consumption, you've just become a guru.
Sort of that certain age where you've got to have a look at these things.
Oh,
you know?
25.
You got spooked by Four Corners last night, did you?
No. I got spooked by a blood pressure reading.
Oh.
So just having a quiet, good hard look at myself, Stephen. Yeah.
It's a sensible thing to do advanced years.
Certain ages, you know. I probably would have helped Southcorp Foster's out a fair bit, though, in the past, though. I've had to shoulder to the wheel. So I can rest on my laurels there a bit, I think.
What sort of an old-school journo would you be if you hadn't?
Exactly. I used to,
many a day in that old studio in Ripponlea.
The Melbourne Press Club put out its own brand of red wine. It was sort of had a label on it with this red-nosed old journo with the ticket on the side of his hat, and the thing was, you know, to be informed is to be well read. But red was spelled R-E-D. It was a beauty.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, are you still Madam Vice President?
I am at this particular moment in time. Yeah. And who knows how the whole thing's going to roll out. Yeah. It's a little unclear just yet as to what's going to happen in the boardroom.
Big weekend for the day.
A very big weekend. Mm. But we had a fabulous event on Saturday night, which was 1,300 of our big family, the Melbourne family, came together, and we had 150 heroes named. It was, you know, I thought they put up a really great fight yesterday. So
yeah, no, I was there.
You enjoyed it. You were one of the 59,000...
Mm-hmm. A few lapses. I thought Collingwood were just a little bit too skillful and polished.
But good signs for the club, I think. Yeah. A lot of signs that the work Dean's doing.
Yeah, should I say good luck? Or?
I sort of feel like I've done my term. Nine years is a long time.
It's big, Beth.
You know, for a director.
And great, I think, servant of the club.
Thank you. And I do think it's renewal is good.
Yeah.
So I'm not perturbed, but I do want to make sure that whatever we do is in the interests of you, dear members, that vote us in.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't just hand over the keys without being very clear.
I had to ask you the question.
Yes, of course, the journo in you. Yes, okay.
Do you want to know what's
Did you get the answer?
I did. That's good enough. It's pretty good. Very diplomatic, too, I thought.
What's on the news tonight?
Cars, API hearings. Very interesting. I mean, you'd all know about the cars because you've been talking about it all afternoon, but of course it's leading our bulletin tonight because it's quite a major...
Big deal, announcement.
...deal for Victoria and Australia. Interesting in sort of goings-on in the API hearings, though, is another public hearing centering on a detective sergeant who's suspected of tipping off another officer who was at the centre of a murder investigation. And I won't say much more about it because you just got to be a little bit careful, but there were some very revealing phone conversations played at the hearing, which of course will be at the centre of our report. There are some extraordinary and harrowing pictures from overseas today. The extraordinary are whole houses floating away in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And the dam wall collapsed. And the harrowing new pictures of kids starving in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
There's a new famine there, there's a new crisis, they reckon tens of thousands of kids are going to die. Now, it's one of those unpleasant things that you put in news bulletins from time to time, but that people just must know. But on the brighter side, we go and see a lady who's called Meow Meow. She's a Chinese-Australian who's apparently going to try to beat the Chinese at their own game at table tennis.
Oh, I love...
And she is a hoot. She is a hoot.
Where is she going to do this?
At the Beijing Olympics, we hope. Yeah. We've been down to have a talk to her today, and her mum and dad, apparently quite well-performed Chinese athletes in their day, who left China, mm-hmm. settled in Australia, and now she's going back there to try and take the...
Apparently
got a real chance. Fantastic. And there's another lovely story about an amateur stargazer from Broken Hill who's done so well in his studies of Saturn that NASA's taken him on. So wow. It's not quite a rags-to-riches story, but, it's just one of those, you know, here's a bloke with a real passion who's actually achieved something from it. So there are uplifting elements.
You've got to love that. Well, thank you, and we look forward to seeing you at 7. Ian Henderson will be there with the 7pm news, 10 to 6. It is on 774 ABC Melbourne. Bev O'Connor with Stephen Mayne, and I'll just give you a quick little heads up on the weather. And it's going to remain mostly fine. There'll be the odd clearing shower or two this evening. A top temperature of 16 tomorrow after an overnight low of 12. Thursday, some showers developing, but not a hell of a lot in it. What Scott Williams was telling us earlier from the Weather Bureau, a top of 16 Thursday. A few showers hanging around on Friday, a top of 14. And then pretty much fine days and tops of around 15 and 16 for the weekend. And getting pretty chilly overnight, though.
The ABC Fiction Award recognises emerging Australian writers, and it's now open for entries. If you think you've written a great unpublished fiction manuscript and are over the age of 18, then why not send it in to us? Find all the details at abc.net.au/ABC Fiction Award or call 02 833 3801. The award aims to reflect our diverse Australian community. Entries close 5pm, Monday the 30th of June.
And I have with me Stephen Mayne, and we're talking finance issues. What do you make of the government's $35 million investment in the Toyota hybrid?
Well, I must admit, when I heard that this was being announced, I heard that there was a $500 million renewable cars fund, I thought, oh, I bet that'll be taking up the lion's share of that. So they've got this commitment with only spending $35 million of taxpayers' dollars. I actually reckon it's a really good deal.
And are we sure that's the whole deal? You're really good at sort of burying beneath. But at this stage, that's what
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm taking them at face value. I assume it would have to cost a whole lot more. That there's no way I would think Australia would become the fourth country in the world to have this sort of production put in. And given that we've got, you know, Ford closing down parts of the operation at Geelong, you've got GM closing down the four-cylinder plant at Fisherman's Bend, you have Mitsubishi, it's all been going one way. Oh. Normally, these car companies are so expert at playing off governments, and there are governments all over the world who would be dying to have be the fourth country in the world to have a hybrid production facility put in. So when we've got a massive surplus and a big car fund, I just sort of put it all together and thought, oh, that'll be a couple of hundred million. So $35 million, if they've got away with it with only spending that amount of money, then take them out of them. It's a great deal. Yeah.
Now, talking of spending that sort of money, I mean, car oil, I mean, what an extraordinary event. $11 in one sitting, the oil price going up. And it's hard to see what's really fueling it.
Well, it was just, I think, some intemperate remarks. I think it was the Israeli defence minister talking about having all options on the table with Iran, and that spooked the market, and up she went, $11 on Friday night. Wall Street had its biggest single-day fall in a year. I mean, the price came back a bit. It fell $4 overnight. It's back around the $134, $135 a barrel, so it retreated from its $140. But, I mean, the flow-on effect was the Australian market biggest fall in 3 months today, off 147
points. And the banks
points.
Were big sell.
And the bank, and well, this is the thing about it, is that there's two concurrent stories. There's the commodity energy boom, which is caused by a whole bunch of different issues, but is leading resource stocks up higher. And at the same time, the re-emergence, particularly in the last couple of days, of the global credit crunch. And we saw that overnight with Lehman Brothers, one of the big four Wall Street investment banks, announcing a $2.8 billion loss for the quarter and an emergency $6 billion capital raising. And it's like, well, we thought this was like over and we're through these things, and Lehman's had already done a bit of a write-off and a capital raising like everyone else. And then they've done it again, and UBS has now fell another 4% overnight, and there's been press reports about UBS doing another raising, and there's press reports about Barclays doing another raising. So these guys haven't been coming clean to the full extent of their exposures and their losses. They've been announcing losses and bailouts, mainly from sovereign funds. All those sovereign funds have now done their shirts. I mean, exactly. The Singaporeans are about $5 billion under on their UBS investment. So collectively, they're like $20, $25 billion underwater on all those investments late last year. And now these guys are going back to the well again and saying,
well, I heard
some
a really interesting comment from George Soros over the weekend, and he was saying the worst possible thing in this whole credit crunch is the bailouts, the sovereign bailouts, because it sets a precedent and it allows some of these companies to do what seems that they are doing, which is going back to the well or looking for some sort of, you know, forgiveness for all of this, and someone else will bail them out.
Yeah, or Bear Stearns was the ultimate where the Federal Reserve stepped in. But, I mean, speaking of bailouts, the other amazing one today was ABC Learning and Eddie Groves. Eddie's done a placement today, a share placement, raising $82 million, which is the maximum he could do. You can only issue 15% of your company under the law. So he sells off a majority controlling interest in his US childcare business. He then says everything's fine. He blames all the short sellers and everyone else who've driven his price down from $7 to $1.35 at the start of trading today. And then he comes out and he issues 15% of the company to the same private equity firm, Morgan Stanley, at $1.15. So this is the guy saying, woe is me, I've been forced to sell, the stock's plunged from $7, and then he's voluntarily issuing new stock at $1.15.
Is he going to get away with this?
Well, I think, you know, with Trevor Ahoy out at Foster's, Eddie is now clearly Australia's most sackable CEO.
But he won't sack himself.
Well, he sold all his shares. So although presumably the private equity firm that he's just issued another 13% of the company to won't sack him, but all the other shareholders should be up in arms. I mean, you don't say
the emperor
you don't
wears
need
no
money.
Clothes.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't see. I mean, I guess there's no one else who knows how to run the world's biggest childcare company. I mean, Brad, would you know how to run?
I have enough trouble with just two kids. Forget
right.
that.
I mean, he's about to put his prices up 10%. He's got Julia Gillard coming after him. I mean, who'd want his job?
No one at all. Derek, would you want his job? Derek
actually,
Gill?
I haven't met Brad's kids yet, but I'm sure that he could run ABC Learning. From what I've heard about them.
Yes. Someone just texted me, which reminded me, Soros and his bad back, and he gave that as his, have you heard this, Stephen? It's when his back actually hurts badly that he makes a decision on whether he's going to invest, sell, or what, buy, sell, or whatever. And he thinks it's the pressure of his body, he puts pressure on his back, which I thought, my goodness, if that's been his secret all these years, it's quite a terrifying notion. Anyway.
Well, there's all sorts of different ways to run a company, I would have thought, Stephen.
Yeah, not with your bad back, though.
Well, Eddie's done it. He's lost $2 billion for his investors. So
yeah,
it's time
not
to
his
go.
Back. I agree. Yeah. Derek Gill, what's on your programme?
I want to talk about I'll get people's reaction to the decision by the Prime Minister to put Australia at the forefront of discussions about nuclear non-proliferation.
Oh, yes.
The Prime Minister has announced the establishment of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation and Disarmament Commission. He's got Gareth Evans to co-chair. I don't know whether Gareth's taken time off from the crisis body or what group, but that's not important.
Well, maybe he'll be able to do both.
Well, it could. But the question really is, who's going to pay attention to us?
Well, this is the great question, Derek, that I thought when I heard it this morning. I thought, well, it's a bit like the new ASEAN link, the sort of new Asia bloc, the financial bloc, and now this. Are we trying to sort of start running the region, running the world?
Well, on the one hand, you say, well, because we have a significant percentage, the lion's share of the world's uranium, it does put us in the seller's position. But at the same time, there's all this balancing we've got to do about the need for renewable energy resources, about how rapidly do we have to move away from coal before we kill the entire world. It's not as simple as, you know, we've got it. If you want to buy it, you've got to come to us, and therefore you're going to play by our rules. It's actually much more complex than that. So everyone's reaction tonight about Australia being at the forefront, in the vanguard even, of nuclear non-proliferation.
Those are very big words. Mm. Have you got little words as well?
In front.
Okay.
In the front. at the pointy end.
At the pointy end. Bradley, have you got anything to report?
No. Look, everything seems to be okay. The Monash Freeway, we have had a report of a bingle on Forster Road and the Monash Freeway.
Lara
itself.
Or someone else?
No, Lara Bingle.
Settle. She had a text recently. She hasn't sent me one.
No.
Okay.
Traffic, but Now you know.
Traffic art on the water.
Maritime traffic.
Magnificent. Exactly. And yes, somebody else asked whether the federal government or the Victorian government will be buying 2,000 of these hybrid vehicles for their fleet. So that's good news too. Stephen Mayne, thank you. Brad, thank you for your traffic. Derek Gill with his big and little words.
After seven.
Bev O'Connor saying good night. And I'm sure Lindy will be back with you all tomorrow morning. News time now. It's 6 o'clock.